Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
Historically, one of the world's great coal mining areas, South Wales lost its mining industry in the 1980s. On October 14th through 16th, scholars, community organizers, activists, and students gathered at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina, for Appalachia and Wales, Coal and After Coal. The symposium focused on the historical ties and parallel trends in production between coal mining regions in Appalachia and Wales over the last century. WMMT's Sylvia Ryerson reports.
Like central Appalachia, Wales has a long history of coal mining, yet most of the mines in Wales shut down in the 1980s, forcing former mining regions to find alternative ways to sustain their communities. And now, coal production in central Appalachia is declining, and market experts expect the trend to continue, and perhaps accelerate, depending on the regulatory environment for the industry. Pat Beaver is the director of the Center for Appalachian Studies at ASU and co-organized the symposium, and sees this as a critical moment to look beyond U.S. borders to find new solutions for the coal fields.
Given the sort of issues going on around the Appalachian coal fields right now, we needed to look at what has happened in Wales since the closing of the mines from about 1986 on, the experience of Wales that could inform how we think about the future of Appalachia.
The symposium built upon a long history of collaboration between ASU's Center for Appalachian Studies and Welsh scholars and organizers. In 1975, scholars Helen Lewis and John Gaventa traveled to Welsh coalfield communities to conduct research and filmmaking, which then led to a series of organized exchanges between Welsh and U.S. coal miners. As Lewis recalls why she and Gaventa first decided to travel to Wales.
I was teaching at the Clinch Valley College, and I had been there since 1955, and I'd seen all the changes in coal mining and stuff. And so I was interested in the possibility of looking at extractive industries in other places, and just really interested in looking at coal mining in other places and whether they had the same kinds of problems or whether there were other ways of doing coal mining besides the real sort of devastation that was happening in Appalachia.
Lewis and Gaventa filmed over 72 hours of footage while in Wales, some of which was shown at the symposium. Here is a clip from this footage of John Gaventa talking with Welsh coal miners about the situation in the coalfields of Appalachia in 1977.
Good example of the problem, the magnitude of the problem exposed in the United States, is that it's divided. It's the same owner's mine, as Ms. Lewis was saying. It's the same major companies that own all that coal and minerals. But by going into strip mining half and deep mining half in one community and other communities, they've been able to divide the worker against the worker. And the best example was found when the national legislation was put forward in Congress this last year. All the strip miners got together, they're non-union miners, and the owners said, we want you to go to Washington and protest that bill. And if you don't go to Washington, what happens? You lose your job, and it's no problem because we've got such a high unemployment rate, we're bringing somebody else.
A miner's life is like a sailor on a ship to cross the waves. Every day is life's in danger. Yet he ventures being brave. Watch those rocks, they're falling daily. Careless miners always fail. Keep your hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale.
Again, that was John Gaventa talking with Welsh coal miners in 1977 and the song A Miner's Life, sung by a Welsh miner. Guest speaker Dr. Howell Francis is an author, activist, and the Labour Member of Parliament for Aberavon, Wales since 2001, and has collaborated with Lewis since the exchange project first began. Francis explained how things changed in the Welsh coalfields when the Conservative government led by Margaret Thatcher came to power in the 1980s, and the mining industry in Wales shifted from being nationalised to privatised.
In the mid-80s, you had a particularly difficult time. Conservative government wanted to withdraw public subsidies to all the public operations. And at the end of the day, that meant severe pit closures, substantial pit closures, and with the miners being defeated, the immediate consequence was wholesale pit closures, social devastation. The miners' union itself was broken as a consequence of the strike. The breakaway union was formed, so the miners were divided. So they succeeded in defeating the miners, achieving the political victory of breaking the most powerful union in the country. And as a consequence of achieving that political victory, they were able then to move forward with the big prize, and the big prize was the privatisation of the coal industry. They would only keep the most profitable mines without proper planned investment. So we are now left in 2010 with a deep coal mining industry of only something like 8,000 miners in the whole of Britain. And there were 250,000 miners 25 years ago. There is strip mining, but although they produce a significant amount of coal, that is doesn't employ very many miners. But most of the coal that is used in Britain is imported.
The collapse of the industry in Wales required the Welsh coalfields to transition from mining to survive. Yet to do so, they did receive some state support. When the pits closed in Wales, miners were entitled to redundancy money, training programs, and incapacity benefits. One educational program that began during these years of transition was the Dove Workshop, a women's training center in the Delays Valley. As guest speaker and Dove Workshop founder Mara Francis outlines the primary aims and objectives of the Dove Workshop.
We wanted to improve the learning opportunities for women in the area. Women in the area were given secondary roles. They weren't visible. The organisations within the valley were controlled by men. Men were the voices. So unless women had a backstage role, there was no real encouragement for the women to come forward and take control. And so we knew that when we set up Dove, it had to be run and organised by women for women. And we knew that we had to provide free childcare facilities. We couldn't expect the women to come to an education and training programme if we didn't provide childcare. It had to be a flexible learning environment, so everything had to be part-time, within school terms, and any holiday period there were no courses running. And of course we had to provide transport. We were in a rural area, the bus service was non-existent, 40% of the people only had cars, so there was a desire that we would provide transport. And this was the first time that a city-based university was locating itself in the valleys on a permanent basis in one of the most deprived wards in the area. And so we were able to build links then with the local college in the town of Neath and with the Workers' Educational Association to develop a curriculum.
So that was the most successful initiative, really. But it was based upon... it was kind of new politics. It was about women. It was about sustainability, it was about being local, it was about developing new democratic partnerships between small community organisations and large publicly funded organisations like universities or government bodies.
Again, that was Hal Francis. As Francis contends, access to benefits and educational opportunities is crucial during times of transition.
There should be lifelong learning opportunities for those people who change their careers, whether voluntarily or whether it's compulsory. And in the case of the serious economic dislocation caused by mass pit closures, then there ought to be proper educational and training opportunities within those communities, within travelling distance. And for those education and training opportunities to be that are not necessarily using the same skills, but developing new skills in the creative industries.
Again, that was Dr. Hal Francis, who's the Labour Member of Parliament for Aberavon, Wales. In Parliament, he represents a district in a historic coal mining area that that is making the transition towards alternative economies following the almost complete closure of the mines in the mid-1980s. In addition to the speaker presentations, Appalachian coalfield residents engaged in roundtable discussions with representatives from Welsh coal communities. Representatives from many coalfield organizations, including the Alliance for Appalachia, Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, Jobs in Mingo County, West Virginia, and the Southern Appalachian Mountain Stewards were present. The open discussions focused on what lessons can be learned from the initiatives and organizing strategies used in Wales after the mine closed, and how this knowledge can inform the ongoing work for a just economic, social, and environmental transition in Appalachia. Again, here is activist, organizer, and scholar Helen Lewis sharing some of her final reflections on the symposium and one idea she has for a new way to move forward in the mountains.
We need to work more with some of our community colleges, I think, and develop better programs for women that are more flexible. And I'm very interested in concentrating on something that would pull all the groups together, like protecting the water, because mountaintop removal destroys the water, as well as bad farming, as bad development. All kinds of things could be brought together, your environmentalists and your anti-strip mining people and people who are interested in the health and well-being of their children. So I've been proposing that we sort of organize around watersheds and that we promise every child a clean glass of water. And then that way we can clean up all the streams and we can improve the sewage systems and we can put people to work replanting trees and making for clean watersheds and organizing on not by county and not by, you know, sort of city, but rather by watersheds.
Again, that was Dr. Helen Lewis speaking at the symposium Appalachia and Wales, Coal and After Coal at Appalachian State University. Reporting for WMMT, I'm Sylvia Ryerson.
And docked again, boys, you've been lured in 2-for-1. What have we to show for working since this mining first begun? Worn out boots and worn out miners, lungs of stone and children pay. Hand upon your wages and your eye upon the scale. Union miners, stand together to lock in the owner's tale. Keep your hand upon your wages and your
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.